Turn with me, please, to the book of 1 Chronicles today. We're going to give thanks from the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 16, and we're going to begin reading in verse 7. And it's a psalm of David. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God, 1 Chronicles, chapter 16, and verse 7. It's kind of a lengthy reading, but I want you to just, before we start, I want you to understand the heart of the one who wrote it, David. David, King David was the one who wrote this, and he's celebrating the return of the Ark of the Covenant back into the city of Jerusalem. And he's so filled with joy that he's written a psalm and he gives it to Asaph, the leader of worship. And here's, and when you listen to his words, you can just literally feel the excitement. We start in verse 7. On that day, David first delivered his psalm into the hand of Asaph and his brethren to thank the Lord. Oh, give thanks, and this is the psalm. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples. Sing to Him. Sing psalms to Him. Talk of all His wondrous works. Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face forevermore. Remember His marvelous works which He has done, His wonders and His judgments of His mouth. O seed of Israel, His servants, you children of Jacob, His chosen ones, He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Remember His covenant forever, the word which He commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant which He made with Abraham and His oath to Isaac. And confirmed it with Jacob for a statute to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as the allotment of your inheritance. When you were few in number, indeed very few, and strangers in it, when they went from one nation to another and from one kingdom to another, He permitted no man to do them wrong. Yes, He rebuked kings for their sakes, saying, do not touch my anointed ones. I like that. Do not touch my anointed ones, and do not my prophets no harm. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim the good news of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His wonders among all the peoples, for God is great. The Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor the majesty. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and gladness are in His place. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory. Do His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before Him. All the earth. The world is also firmly established. It shall not be moved. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea roar and all its fullness. Let the field rejoice and all that is in it. Then the trees of the wood shall rejoice before the Lord, for He is coming up to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endures forever. And say, save us, O God of our salvation. Gather us together and deliver us from the Gentiles to give thanks to Your holy name, to triumph in Your name. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. From everlasting to everlasting, and all the people said, Amen, and praised the Lord. Again, let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we rejoice in Your goodness. I pray, Lord, You would receive our thanksgiving today, knowing that we are nothing without You, but life surely is good as Your children. Lord, move among us freely. Convict of sin. Lift up those who are discouraged. I pray Your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The goal of today is very simple. It's to be thankful. To give thanks. That's not a hard thing, right? But when we say give thanks, I want you to understand it's more than just thank you. That doesn't do it justice. I mean, we say thank you when somebody holds the door open for us and we walk through, right? We say thank you when somebody does some nice little good deed for us, and we just, our response is thank you. And today, my challenge, I don't want to be casual with God today. I want to be like David. You see, David, as I told you before, he is in full celebration mode, and he's celebrating because the Ark of the Covenant has been returned to Jerusalem. And just right at the last chapter, the last part of chapter 15, as the Ark comes into Jerusalem, David is dancing and rejoicing, and there's a big parade, and you just feel the joy. That's what this text, this psalm is about. And today, that's what I want you to do. I want you to feel the joy. Realizing the awesome God that you serve. And we start with David's admonition, give thanks. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. You see, thanksgiving begins with a true heartfelt appreciation. I'm talking about appreciating and acknowledging who God is. You do realize God is not a man. This, were it not for God, we'd be nothing. I mean, sometimes we get really full of ourselves and we get to thinking, look what I've done. But I want you to know, you are here by the grace of God alone. Psalms 103 says, know that the Lord, He is God. Read this with me. And read it like you mean it. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Do you see the passion there? Do you feel the passion in the psalm that we read? We are what we are because of a loving God. Today, my challenge is to appreciate it. I mean, after all, aren't things in your life out of control? You know what one lesson I've learned through life? I'm not in control of anything. But I know the one who is. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow, as the song says. Oh, glory to God, and realize you are where you are. You are what you are by the grace of God. Give Him thanks. Give Him glory. And once you realize the appreciation factor, then you go to an association factor. You see, when I walk through a door and somebody opens the door for me and I say thank you, I don't have to say anything else to them. But when I realize what God has done for me, lifted me up out of sin, He saved me, and because of His salvation, I have an eternal home. When I realize what He's done, it makes me want to draw near to Him. Amen. This message will go a whole lot quicker if y'all will participate, okay? I want there to be an association. I want to call, as David put it, call upon His name. I want to meet with God. I want to encounter God. You see, we're coming upon the time of year that we celebrate the holidays, Thanksgiving and Christmas, and oftentimes we become so busy that we forget the very reason that we celebrate. That's Jesus. I want to thank God and appreciate God to the point where we're like Moses. In Exodus 33 verse 11, where God spoke to Moses as a man speaks to his friend. Don't you want to do that today? You know, you realize you can. We're in the presence of God today. When you start to appreciate God for who He is and what He's done, and you begin to draw near to Him. Listen, God wants that relationship. Not a mere thank you, Lord. Not a casual acknowledgement. But a real, a vital association where daily, you know, and I go back to the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve walked with God. Can you imagine what that's like? This is the challenge. Start with appreciation. Move to association. And then let it affect your conversation. What's on the tip of your tongue today? David said, make known his deeds. Declare God. Stop. Take time to count your blessings. How many are blessed? Would you say amen? Amen. When's the last time you counted them? You see, oftentimes we say, oh, God's so good. He's blessed me. But when's the last time you counted and you stopped and you really gave thanksgiving for every individual blessing? I'm reminded this year, I am a blessed man. I'm saved. I know where I'm going. There's a lot of people who do not have that assurance. God has blessed me with a wonderful family. Married off the last child yesterday. I would dance if I had rhythm, but I'm not like David. No, but you know, even my children who are grown, oh, God has blessed me with such good children. And He's given them good spouses. And He's blessed me with a church family. You know, I love y'all. And I don't just say that. I love you. I love spending time with you. I love gathering for worship with you. This is something that I need every week. I want to declare it. I want not only myself to know, I want the world to know what God has done for me. My life is not the same because I'm a child of the King. I want to tell you something. We had baptism this morning, Desiree. She made me excited. Just good job. And you know what? Because I love to see people excited about following the Lord. You know? Man, that's exciting stuff. I often think, when people see us, they look and they say, I don't want what he's got. You know? Our conversation should be as such. It should be with such gratitude and thanksgiving that people say, I got to have what he's got. I want to go where he goes on Sunday. I want to do what she does on Sunday. That's what we're shooting for this Thanksgiving, to give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord. Give glory to the Lord. David said, glory in His holy name. You know what he was doing? He was giving God recognition for who He was. Now, we'll stop just a minute, okay? The idea behind that word glory is to boast. How many of you know how to brag? If you don't know how to brag, you've never had a grandbaby. That's like the advanced program in bragging. You get a master's or a doctorate's degree when you start having grandchildren and bragging. All right? When David wrote, give glory to the Lord, he's saying, brag about who God is. I want you to know there is none like our God. When he said, glory in His holy name, that word holy means sacred, and the idea is there's nobody like God. There is none. Let me tell you about my God. My God spoke and the universe was created. My God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed the breath of life into his nostrils. My God created every star in the heavens and he named them by name. You see, this is the God I'm talking about. He's not like the God of other nations. He's not made of gold or silver and made up of at the hands of man. My God created man. See, my God can take an old man like Abraham and make him the father of a great nation. My God can take an old man like Moses and he can deliver a nation and destroy the most powerful man upon the face of the earth. My God can take young boys like Joseph and save families. My God can close the mouths of lions to protect his children like he did for Daniel. My God can go through the fire like he did with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. My God takes little shepherd boys like David, gives him a sling and five rocks, and tells him to go kill a giant, and he does. You see, that's the kind of God we serve. That's the kind of God we should be bragging about. My God calls lowly fishermen the low of the social class. He calls lowly fishermen and has them guys turn the world upside down by the preaching of the gospel. That's my God. My God came to this earth in a form of a man. My God went to a cross called Calvary to pay for my sin and for your sin. Where He died, He gave His life. They didn't take it. My God was placed in a tomb. But let me tell you something. My God came out of that tomb on the third day. He's alive and today seated at the right hand of the Father. This is my God. My God lives inside me. And He daily makes intercession on my behalf. I want you to realize when we talk about what God's done with these great people of the past, the Abraham, Moses, Noah, and David, my God is not done yet. He's still working in the lives of people. He's still delivering the drug addicts from addiction. He's still delivering the alcoholics from alcoholism. He's still taking broken marriages and putting them back together and broken families and putting them back together. My God is as strong as He's ever been. This is the God that we need to glory and brag upon. Oh, I want you to know, perhaps most importantly, my God's coming back for me. One of these days, He's going to step out on the cloud and the trumpet's going to sound with the voice of the archangel. And we're going to hear the words, come up here, and we're going to leave here really, really quickly to be in the presence of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. You see, we've got so much to brag about. This is not one of those, do you want to go to church with me? We should be a people, come see what God is doing. This is our God. We need to recognize Him for who He is. And we need to remember. See, we need to remember what God's... And that's our problem. We forget. David said, verse 12, remember His works. Remember His wonders. Remember His judgments. Has God done something really, really awesome in your life? If He has, say amen. Amen. Do you ever forget? Do you forget? I want to tell you, I do. I'm guilty. Boy, God can do great things this week, and by the end of next week, I can be as low as I can be because I've got a short memory. Well, I want you to go back during this Thanksgiving, and I want you to remember His wondrous works. I want you to remember what God has done in your life. You look at the children of Israel, and that was the problem with the children of Israel. They forget. God brought them out of Egypt. And they sat on the banks of the Red Sea and they cried out as the Egyptian armies were coming after them. And they cried out, oh, Moses, you should have left us. They forgot the plagues that happened in Egypt. They didn't remember that. And then God parted the Red Sea. They crossed over on dry ground. And here comes Pharaoh's armies chasing them. And they went into the sea and God put the sea back together and drowned them all. You'd think that'd make a lasting impression, but they did forget. Short time later, they were at the base of Mount Sinai. They even saw the glory of God descend upon Mount Sinai. Can you imagine? It was so glorious. They said, no, Moses, you go up there. We don't want to be exposed to God. We'll die. So you know what they did while Moses was up there? After seeing the glory of God, the mighty hand of God, they built him a golden calf. Why? Because they forgot who God was. You see, forgetting's dangerous. Oh, it goes on. You know, they complained because they got thirsty. God gave them water from a rock. They complained because they got hungry. God rained bread from heaven. I mean, He did marvelous things, but every time you turn around, they forget and they'd start complaining and whining and say, Moses, why did you take us out of Egypt? Oh, I don't want to be like that. What about you? I am what I am by the grace of God. God has brought me through a lot in my life. I mean, we have fought battles. We have fought the battles of raising children, and God's been there. There were times that my children were out of control and I didn't know how in the world I would get through it. But guess what? God's there. There were times that I was out of control, Ask Beth, she'll tell you. But God was there. He was bringing me back into where I should be. You see, that's the point. Don't forget what God has done. Oh, we can go through the stories. You know, as a nation, a couple hundred years ago, we were a nation in civil war, brother against brother. After that, you know, there's been conflicts of World War I, World War II, Vietnam, Korea, and Desert Storm, and all that. Beloved, you don't get through that much without the hand of God. You do not. Yet today, we live in a nation that's forgotten. Not only forgotten, but has tried to dismiss God out of society altogether. I want to tell you, we can't afford that. We can't afford it. We've got to remember. Then finally, beloved, this Thanksgiving, we got to worship. See, that's what David did. David just worshiped. We've got to honor the Lord. We've got to, David said, give the Lord glory to His name. And that word glory, as it's used there, it means to honor. How do you honor God? Well, keep reading. It's give to God strength. Well, now, what does that mean? Well, it means to accredit God for the strength that He has. But I want to tell you what I think it also means. When it says give Him strength, give Him your effort. Okay? Put something into your relationship with God. All too often, we don't want to do anything. Have you noticed that? I mean, church has become very entertainment oriented. Where, singing the choir is not popular anymore. Because you got to go to that choir practice. And Dale has choir practice every Sunday at 5 o'clock. And I get so tired of that. But you know what that is? That's effort. That's effort. God doesn't just want you to show up at church for an hour on Sunday and sit there and wait to be sung to and talked at. He wants you and your efforts. You see, that's how we worship. When we give of our best to the Master. Have you ever heard that song? Give of your best to the Master. Give it. I mean, God's worthy of your effort. Do something for Him that requires you to make an effort. Not just to sit there and pretend like you're going through motions. That's the God that we serve. He's worthy of our strength. He's worthy of our giving. Bring Him an offering. Bring Him an offering. What kind of offering? It doesn't matter. Bring Him an offering. See that word offering there in the latter part of that psalm when it says bring an offering. That word offering means literally a gift. Now we're not talking tithes. Okay? We're not talking tithes. We're talking an offering. Something that says, God, I love You so much, I want to give You this gift. This gift is from my heart. Now men, I want you to think about this for just a moment. We can relate to this. This is what we say, you know, this is something you'd go to the jewelry store for. Right? Anniversary, whatever, and you get that diamond ring or diamond necklace or pearl earrings or whatever it is, and you come and you say, here you go, darling, I give you this just because I love you. You know? And you know what? That means so much to our wives. I'll admit, I don't do it enough. Okay? But let me ask you, do you ever do that for God? Not saying go to the jewelry store, but just do you ever just give God something because you love Him so much? It may be a financial offering. It may be a giving of your time, your talent, but something that you don't have to do, but you do it just because you love God. See, that's worship. That's worship, my friends. That's thanksgiving. That's appreciating who God is. Then finally, let's adore Him. Let's let our thanksgiving be with adoration. Verse 29 says, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Worship means to bow down, bend the knee. Sing to Him. Sing psalms. I mean, did you sing during the song service this morning? Did you sing like you meant it? I said, Brother Doug, I can't sing. Don't matter. God knows it. He wants to hear your voice anyway. I like that song, best sing sometimes. God wants to hear you sing. Pretty song, yeah. He may be the only one that wants to hear you sing. But He wants to hear you sing. Okay? So don't make that excuse. I can't sing. If you can make a noise, you can sing. God wants to hear you sing. Honor Him in song. Praise Him in song. And then finally, in closing, honor God by treating Him as God. I'm talking about reverence. You see, today the movement is to be very casual in our relationship with God. Now listen, God wants to be a friend. But God is still God. Okay? God is not your buddy. God is your God. We need to remember how to bend a knee and honor Him as the Creator of the universe. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying we can't have that intimate one-on-one relationship where we talk to God as a man talks to his friend. That's wonderful. But I also believe with all my heart we've got to be reverent toward God in the beauty of His holiness, because there is no one like Him. We've got to be willing to bow that knee. We've got to be willing to show respect. And I still, you know, I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again. We often refer to God as, you know, that man upstairs, the big guy. God's not the big guy. He's not that man upstairs. He's God, Creator of the universe. Treat Him like God. Reverence. Respect. Bow the knee. Submit yourself to the glory of an awesome God. Let the nations, let the heavens rejoice and be glad, for the Lord reigns. And all the people said, Amen. My friends, we serve an awesome God. I'm not here to preach at you today. I'm here to remind you, man, God is good. He's good. Truly give thanks. Don't be like the teenager when mom and dad does something for them and they say, well, that's your job to do something for me. No, it's not. You look at what God's done for you and you appreciate God. Thank God. God. For if it were not for God, you would not be. Are you a child of God? If you're not saved, we want to give you a chance. We're going to have a verse of invitation. I wanted to invite you to come to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If there's another need, maybe you just need to come to this altar and say, God, thank you. You've been so good to me. Come to the altar. Say thank you, Lord. If there's another need, the Lord's leading you to become a member of this church. Whatever God lays upon your heart, let's reverence Him by doing what He leads you to do. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for the day. We thank You, Lord, for Your Word. And we rejoice. It is good to be Your child. I thank You and I pray, Lord, that we'll all be reminded today to honor You with our reverence, with our singing, with our worship, with our lives, and everything that we do, Lord, I pray that You receive honor and glory through this holiday season. We give You thanks, for without You we're nothing. But in You life is truly good. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.